Welcome to Winning Through Culture. I'm Amanda Kramer, and today we're going to be talking about what being a steward means. I am joined by Executive Vice President Jason Goldie, and I'm excited to get his take on how stewardship and being a servant leader helps us all win at life. Jason, thanks for being with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So as I've come to know you, it is apparent that you continuously invest in others. How do you view stewardship in your daily life?
Wow, that's a great question. And I think most important is I do better at it some days than I do others. But I think generally is just trying to take that mindset of putting others first. And what that has in reciprocity, what that gives back to you is infinitely more than you actually give out to others. And that's in business, in our communities, in our homes, is just taking that mindset of how can I serve today using those things that I've been entrusted with.
A lot of the time when we talk about stewardship in the organization, we say, you know, giving back through our time, our talent, and our treasure. And that's really impacting the greater good, not only for those that are internally in the organization, but ultimately the communities and the greater world that we serve. How do you see that playing out on a daily basis in the organization?
Yeah, well, I think the important part is it's all three, right? And often when you think about stewardship or giving, most of that is in terms of money, which is absolutely helpful and needed and necessary, and there's a lot of great things that you can do with that. But the impact of time and talent is often underemphasized and underutilized, and what we've tried to consciously do is just weave that into the fabric of our culture in the organization. And that comes in just checking in with people at a personal level, letting them know that you care, and seeing what that can do in someone's life is just amazing. And we're all here for greater purposes than the businesses that we're in, and serving something. So you get to see that play itself out in the organization. And then secondly, just in our culture of the firm, just it creates even a collaboration where everyone is helping everyone else try and achieve that next step in life and in success, and then gives you that platform to hold each other accountable to say, are you paying attention to those things in life that truly matter to you at that point, whatever that may be?
Well, and you mentioned something interesting when you said about, you know, it's really all three. And as part of the organization, we have developed, I would consider what I call a stewardship arm in hands and feet. And that is really for us to use all three of those components to impact those that are around us. And over the last 3 years, you know, we've given away from the monetary component, from a charitable giving standpoint, over $100,000. And that's just one piece of the greater pie when it comes to giving back and being a good steward, right? So when we think about organizations that we've impacted, not only from that monetary perspective, but also a giving from a time and resources standpoint. You know, ISF is one of them. So Isabella Santos Foundation, Thompson Child and Family Focus, Taylor's Tale, the list goes on. When you think about hands and feet and your involvement there, because you were a board member at one point and you've rolled off now and you still continuously give insight and support and you volunteer along with us. I know this past year looked a little different from being able to go and actually serve in a greater capacity given just the environment that we're in. I know we're going to get back to that soon, but what has hands and feet really meant to you? And how do you see that as part of the culture of the organization?
Oh, wow.
There's just a couple of questions in there for you.
Well, hands and feet, I believe, started over a decade now ago. And it really started with an idea of we're doing really great work in our chosen line of profession, helping people with their finances, secure their financial future, and plan for the unexpected and everything in between. And it just felt like that one piece was missing in terms of how are we going out in the community versus people coming into us. And that's really the genesis of that idea of seeking ways to be able to not only do that, but to invite people as a part of our organization to participate along with us and experience that we started talking about before, is just that impact that giving of all of those things can do, not only for the particular organization that you're trying to support, but what it gives back to you in terms of your relationships, that just feeling of doing something to make a difference And it's been tremendous to be able to watch and grow. And to your point, that can range from just being able to take some of the resources of dollars and give them to organizations that they can put those to way better use than you or I could, just based off of their expertise and what they do and their hearts and what they're working towards. All the way down to, Rise Against Hunger is another one of our favorites, where we get to
That's a good one.
take our competitive spirits and go and pack meals that are going to be shipped. You know, who knows where often we don't know. And you've got people from, 8 to 80 that are in the room working together and having that experience. And there's not a price tag that you could put on that.
Oh, I completely agree. And I'm glad you brought up Rise Against Hunger. That's been by far one of my favorite giving back opportunities that we've done for consecutive years. And I hope to get back to it when we're all in that warehouse and packing over 10,000 meals that are going to go and support those who are in need. When I think about not only from an organizational standpoint, from the mission of Hands and Feed and really what that's focused on, you personally have a story about going abroad and serving in a different capacity. Tell us a little bit about that.
I have had the unique blessing of spending several weeks in Africa, in Senegal. At least I think that's what you mean.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
so going in and serving in a village in West Africa, and it's started in 2009, I believe, was my first trip. And I was again fortunate to be able to go there 4 straight years, and then took a hiatus for a few years and went back and visited. I guess it's 3 years ago now, and just the principles of stewardship held true even more so there. When you get the unique experience of going into another country, a third world country, seeing the impact that you can have by sharing all three of those things, your time, your talent, and your treasure. But really, Amanda, what I found most compelling was the biggest gift was time. It's the thing that none of us are going to get any more of. You know, whatever we have, and how we choose to spend that is really important. And just the graciousness of the people in the village there, and the sentiment of, I can't believe you would come spend your time with me. And it really forces you to change your perspective. And I'm not saying you don't get back into the milieu of the day-to-day when you're here, but it does give you a good anchor to come back to and say, oh, yeah, I am really here for a greater purpose than myself. And I owe it to everyone to try and keep that in the front of my mind.
Absolutely. Well, I know I really enjoy hearing your stories and the fact that you have such a bond with those individuals to this day, even though, you know, you haven't been in a while, you still have those relationships and are continuing to invest your time in those relationships to further the success of those communities that you've served. I know your faith is extremely important to you. How do you feel that relationship has impacted kind of how you go about your day-to-day life? I know we talk a lot about being in business, but there's definitely a blend between being able to bring your whole self to work and really investing in that aspect of your personal being.
Well, as somebody who works with me day-to-day, you know I have my good days and my bad days.
We all do. To that.
But it definitely does. I hate to keep using that word anchor over and over. It gives you that just platform to remember what's most important. When you're in your highest self and you're connected to your spirituality, your heart, your head, and all those things are in sync, it's a good reminder of again why we're here. You know, and I'm reading a book right now called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn, and it calls into light the fact that money and happiness are often definitely not the same thing. And in fact, they're counter to each other. Mm-hmm. And it recounts some of the people that have done really well over the years, from the Rockefellers to the Vanderbilts. And a lot of times their comments are misery. I've just been miserable. And what's rooted in that is just the fact that you hear the joke, oh, it's not a bad joke, I guess, but there's no U-Hauls behind hearses, is no matter how successful you are here, none of that is going with you at the end of your time here. So it's changing that mindset to say, am I doing things today that have an impact beyond just the now? and just what I feel now. So for me, that ends up being one of those compasses. Now, I love things. I love stuff. I love experiences. And
it's I was just going to say, experiences, we can't not talk about those.
A constant balancing act for sure. But that's really how my faith has helped form a lot of that for me.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. You know, you referenced one book and then lots of other, I would say, strings of metaphors and things of that nature. But one of the things that you and I have actually been discussing lately is a book called Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success by Adam Grant. And in that book, he talks about that success is increasingly dependent on the relationships that you have with people. And I think that when we think through the process of being a servant leader, you really have, as he describes in the book, three types of people. You have givers, you have takers, and you have matchers. What principles do you follow that have led you to the success that you see today? And more importantly, where you see yourself going? Because today is not the end result, right? You just said, you know, you can't take it with you when you go. So making sure that you're developing along the way is crucially important.
I just watched the Band of Brothers again, which is about World War II and Easy Company. And at the end of it, he ended up being a major, Dick Winters, who we follow his story throughout the entire series there, and just his work in Easy Company and going into Europe. And he was recounting a letter that he had read, and at the end he said, it's a grandson speaking to a grandfather, and said, grandson says, you're a hero. And he said, no, I don't really think I'm a hero, but I served in the company of heroes. And I say that whole backstory in that, I mean, our organization, and clearly I'm biased, I'm here, but our organization has some of the best servant leaders that I've ever been blessed to be around. And they're constantly yourself, Tim, Audrey, Amy, Ed. I mean, I could go on, the list could go on. Just people that constantly every day strive to make this world a better place. And it's hard not to have some of that rub off on you. So any level of servanthood or servant leadership I have is due to all of you just being that example for me every day. And bringing it back to the book that you just referenced is you can get stuck. That book, the interesting thing that it pointed out is that people tend to be givers, matchers, or takers as it relates to their time and their relationships and all those things. And we're still working through it together, so yep. I can't give the end yet. But you know, I think what is pointed out to me is that in any given encounter, I can choose to be a giver, a taker, or a matcher. Not that I am one and I'm only one. But what the biggest aha for me was a lot of those tests, and I know we've discussed this as well, where they were seeing, you know, success as in a temporal sense or in a worldly sense measured against those three. And the instances where the lowest performers and the highest performers were both givers. And you could look at that and say, oh, wow, that's unique or that's confusing or all those types of things until you read a little further and discover that the givers started at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And often through that experience of giving, they learned more, they developed more relationships, they had this inner sense of purpose that was driving them. And then fast forward just a few years and the givers are suddenly at the top in terms of that success level. So it's been a fascinating read, and thank you very much for giving me that book.
Absolutely. It definitely is a study in how, you know, we interact as humans and ultimately the level of importance we place on certain encounters, as you said. I think that's a perfect word to use there. And the fact that we are not, you know, I'm not 100% in the camp of being a giver. Every encounter, every situation, I have the ability to flex. And I think that's really important when we talk about being a good steward. The concept of being able to, you know, meet the individual in that conversation where you are and where they are, and then ultimately being able to flex to a different point in time with someone else 5 seconds later, you know, really being there to listen, to support, and then ultimately to help them get to their greater purpose, whatever they've defined for themselves as success, being able to be a partner in that and using the time, the talent, and the resources that we have in the organization to help them get there. So we talk a lot, but at the same time, is there anything from like a motto you live by, or when you think about stewardship at its core, that you would say, you know, stewardship for me is defined as?
You know, stewardship is one of those words that can become a buzzword. You know, you can go into any organization now, and it's actually a position in a lot of organizations, you know, the director of corporate stewardship.
Yep.
And it becomes really, again, confused so much with money mm-hmm. or the action, and gets away from the purpose. You know, and just linking back to that, my biggest personal view of stewardship is, what am I doing to promote others in all facets of their life, whatever that may be, and whatever the moment may dictate. And rather than a mantra or a phrase there, it's just that mentality of others first.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things we've been discussing as a greater leadership team, right, is the core values of the organization. I know this is a mini series on our core values, and stewardship is one of those, but we had a lot of conversation in really defining stewardship and what that meant here. And we landed on something I thought was very interesting in the context of having language behind the core value, right? Because it's more than just something we put on the wall as a word, like you said, and it's kind of like everybody has stewardship. No, we really live and breathe it almost. And we landed in a spot where we said, you know, we want to make sure that we're helping first, and that ultimately we are giving back through our time, our talent, and our treasure when and where we're able. It's not going to be 100% of the time focused in that monetary giving space or the volunteering capacity. It very well is more about the investment in the people around us and what they find to be their passion and their joy. And so when I think about how we help first and then ultimately work towards finishing what we start, when we say we're going to do something, we do it. And then we all come back to this place of being a servant leader. And when I think about how we have evolved as a leadership team over time, it has been enveloping, to be honest, how much we all give our full selves to make sure, just like you said, right, that we're helping those people grow to the space and time in which they're trying to get to.
Well, I think you bring up some really good points in that everyone is uniquely gifted with things that they can share, you know, and a lot of times success in business has empowered to be able to give financially, and that's great. Again, that's mm-hmm. necessary and that's needed. But for somebody else, it may be, I'm just really good at connecting with people on an emotional level in a world and time, particularly where we are right now, where emotional connection could not be needed more than ever. And rather than just holding that gift or not appreciating it at the individual level for what it is, just having those platforms to go out and share it. And I view that, you asked about steward leadership again earlier, just as a leader in the organization, I view it as our imperative, our responsibility organizationally, to create the opportunity to be able to do that and for people to step into that. You're the person here that is driving the culture of the organization and based off where you are. And I've seen your heart for stewardship. Just throwing yourself at any of the projects we have, everything that we've talked about here, you've been innately involved in. So what does stewardship mean to Amanda?
That's an excellent question. For me, it comes down to a lot of what we've talked about earlier. I want to make sure that we are effectively impacting the communities that we serve. And we talk a lot about how, you know, we give professionally, but in my personal life, it's inherently important to me that I am giving back, whether that's publicly recognized or not. And I don't mean from the standpoint from a financial capacity. I think we all do that in our own time, in our own space. But I want to make sure that I've impacted someone else's life, whether I get to meet them one day or not. A lot of the work that not only I, but my husband do with Southeastern Guide Dogs, you know, I want to make sure that the ways in which I am talented and uniquely gifted, or what's been bestowed upon me, I'm able to give that into an organization and ultimately have the opportunity to keep saying impact someone's life, but I want to see their life again, that whole concept of leaving the campsite better than you found it. I want to make sure that the way in which I'm using my time and my resources and my talent is ultimately making someone else's life better. You said about the fact that you can't take it with you, and that I completely get. So yes, things are great. I love to shop, so that is true. However, I want to make sure at the end of the day, it's really not about me. It's about the person standing next to me. Whether I have a direct relationship to them or not, I want to make sure that, you know, it's as simple as, this is going to be a silly story, but, you know, I had a package. I was taking it to UPS. I was mailing it to my nieces, and the individual that was walking past me, he had left another business, and he literally stood there and asked me what door I was going in to open the door for me. That is a small act of kindness, and I want to make sure he made my day by doing that, and I want to make sure that I do that every day for someone else. So that is really, when I think about stewardship, yes, it's helping people get to the purpose they've stated for them, whatever that looks like, but it's simple acts of kindness that build up over time that made someone smile that day, and you don't really know what was going on for him, right? But even through a mask, I was able to see that, you know, him allowing him to open the door for me to carry my package in made an impact on his day just as much as it did on mine.
Yeah, and that's great. And having worked with you for, I guess, almost 5 years now, I can attest to the fact that you are doing that every day, and I appreciate it and see it as well. And you just brought up something really interesting, is the impact that it had on him. You mentioned Southeast Guide Dogs before, and I know you're on dog number 3 now.
Yes, of that, dog number 3.
That experience. And share a little bit about that and just what that entails. But I've been interested to also know, is you're doing an incredible service. Those dogs are going to go to help somebody that really needs it. But what's that done to further grow and shape you in your stewardship capacity?
That's an excellent question. So first off, the relationship that we have with Southeastern Guide Dogs is really to be a home and emotional support for the puppies as they are in their formative months. So for a greater year of their adolescence, we have them and we are educating them, and they're also educating us on compassion and loyalty, and the list goes on. I could talk about this for days, but bringing them into our home, loving them, and then ultimately teaching them how to be not only a well-trained pet, if you want to think about it from that capacity in their non-working hours, but getting them to a place where they have all the foundation and fundamentals for them to go to what we call college. And college is that, you know, that kind of graduation to, now I'm going to learn how to stop at a sidewalk and look both ways as a dog that's going to be guiding an individual that is visually impaired. That's just one of the options that our dogs can ultimately go down as a career path. And it's funny, we talk about business and how we talk about the kind of the graduation from, you know, they go through puppy kindergarten and then they have their fundamental levels, and we talk about them as they're in elementary or they're middle school or they're high school, and then they go to college and then they become, you know, someone's support animal, whether that is in a service capacity or that is in an emotional support capacity. So when they do eventually graduate and become someone's dog, they are there to support in really a multitude of facets. But the goal is really twofold. One is to either become a guide dog, so a CNI, or two is to become a support. And when we think about that, you know, recently, you just mentioned, you know, we're on number 3. Number 2 is in his final stages of becoming a support dog, and he's being specifically trained to support a veteran who has needs from a PTSD standpoint. So it's a whole nother skill level that he's learning, and he wouldn't be at the place that he is now, and I know that, although sometimes it's hard for me to recount because it's a lot of work and investment on the front end. But he was with us for the greater part of a year and had the opportunity to really become grounded in his fundamentals. So, you know, now he can take all of what he learned, and he is now going to support that individual and make that person's life better. And that's why we do it. And I'm not answering your question, But that's why we do it. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, not all of the dogs that we raise are going to make it. And I understand that. But I want to make sure that those that do, ultimately, they have a bigger purpose in life. And that's why, people ask me all the time, it must be really hard for you to give them up. And I'm like, it absolutely is, because they do become part of your family. Southeastern does a wonderful job in keeping us connected. So the puppy that I'm talking about right now is Griffin. And, we continuously get a monthly update on his progress and where he is. And then when he is matched with the individual that he's going to support for the rest of his life, then we will have the opportunity to get to know that person as well if they elect to do so. So when I think about, that component of my life, it bleeds into every day. So I want to make sure, as I said earlier, that the impact that I'm making and the time I'm investing in that particular stewardship arm for me is ultimately going to make somebody's life easier or better. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, those are the experiences that kind of fill you up. So we talked about, financially giving and all of that is great, but, the smile on someone's face when they can actually walk down the street and they don't need a cane and they have a dog. I mean, it's a whole experience that until you put a blindfold on and you have one of the guides lead you, you really don't know what that's like. And so putting yourself in those shoes, that's continuously pushes us to bring that next puppy home and spend all of those nights and days and all of the outside and cold and hot and rain, and the list goes on of all the experiences that they have. But it's worth it in the end. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It sounds like it's an example of that ripple effect, right? Mm. Is the work that's being done in your home, in your backyard, is now going to be impacting someone somewhere.
Yep.
Across the country. And just that quality of life, that experience, can't do anything but magnify or amplify, just through that individual. And I think a lot of times we get stuck in that is this really going to make a difference? And you never really know. There's so many incredible stories in the universe of, I wouldn't be where I am if this. And it helps you, at least helps me, remember or choose to serve in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and I think that's the really cool thing about not only the relationship that I have with you, but you mentioned several other members of our team here, is that we choose to serve each other, and we choose to serve for the greater good every single day. And so when I think about, the culture that we are building, and you mentioned earlier that I'm kind of the steward of that, seems silly to say that word, but I want to make sure that we create the space and the environment for the opportunity to choose to serve. Whatever that looks like, whatever encounter that might be, whatever moment it is, we all have that option. Well, Jason, thank you for being with me on Winning Through Culture. It was great chatting with you today. Until next time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure, and I look forward to serving with you as we walk away today.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast, and remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.